Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is episode 109. I appreciate you listening out there. And I'm going to start out, sorry about that, dropping stuff while I'm recording. I'm going to start out by saying Barack Obama may have had his best week ever. I think Barack Obama is going to have to say nigger more often. As I'm sure you know by now, Barack Obama was on Mark Maron's WTF podcast. And yes, WTF stands for exactly what you think it does. And he used the word nigger on the podcast. And of course, he used it in a historical context and talked about racism and the fact that the word's still there. And the news picked up on it and went crazy. You know, I mean, it's not as if Barack Obama was sitting around saying, yo, me and my niggas was up on the East Lawn kicking it with some hoes, you know. Because that would probably be bad. No, but it's our crazy news, as you well know, and people got upset. I don't know if Fox News got to say nigger, but I know they wanted to. Anyway, that's how the week started, and Barack was, from there, he was just on a roll. Now, tonight, I had an interesting experience. I performed at the LA Press Club Awards dinner, and I've done this gig a few times, and the last time I did it, they were presenting an award to Quincy Jones, and that was a blast. And the time before that, it was Carl Reiner, who loved my comedy, and it's fun. I mean, it's Carl Reiner that you're doing comedy for and with. It was great. But tonight, they honored Charlie Hebdo, I'm not going to try to pronounce it in French. You know Charlie Hebdo. It's the magazine that had the cartoon depicting the Prophet Muhammad, and they were attacked by terrorists, and cartoonists and journalists were assassinated. So, in other words, not the best night to be doing comedy. Side note, because there was a possibility of an attack, since they were talking about the Prophet Muhammad, etc., there must have been 30 cops at the event, around the hotel, around the room and all. Might want to let me know that before I do my joke, which leads to a joke about cops shooting black kids. So, tough night at the office. Let's hope it's a better night at the podcast. Now, getting back to Barack Obama's great week. The Supreme Court, again, you probably know this, right? Because, you know, I'd only do this once a week. I'm almost like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Much smaller, lower budget, and not as many listeners. But doing the whole week at the end of the week, you've already heard the news. So the Supreme Court has approved, okayed, accepted, legalized, I don't know what word you want to use, Obamacare, which I hate that term, but that's what we're calling it. It's Obamacare. It's the Affordable Care Act. The Republicans, they hate this thing. And you know the reason they hate it is because Barack Obama's name is attached to it. I hope they're not so hateful that they really don't want anyone to have health care. I think it's just the fact that this is a historic law and Barack Obama's attached. But anyway, they found four words, 906 pages of a law, of a bill, of a rant, but 906 pages, they found four words that the exchanges, the healthcare exchanges, were established by the state. Those were the four words, established by the state. And they said, well, not every state has an exchange. And if the state doesn't have an exchange, then the federal government can't set up an exchange to provide insurance for these people and blah, 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 blah. And Justice Roberts, you know, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, that liberal activist, Justice Roberts, shocked him, shocked the right wing, threw the common sense argument at him. He simply said, common sense would tell you that this law was designed to provide health care for the people. So in other words, you can't look for some technicality with four words and destroy a whole law and uninsure millions of people who've been insured. He common sense. Who saw that coming? It's almost funny how we as a nation were somewhat surprised when common sense from the Supreme Court, we didn't see that coming at all. But Justice Roberts did it. He backed, and this is the second time he's backed Obamacare, but he hit him with the common sense option. And of course, all the Republican presidential candidates came out and said, well, we're still going to find a way to shut it down because, hey, we refuse. Common sense, we refuse to listen to that. And McConnell said, the Congress will continue to fight and spend hundreds of millions of more dollars just absolutely wasting taxpayers' money to fight a law that the Supreme Court said is constitutional. I had a guy on my Facebook page, I get the angry ones now and then, he said the reason this happened is because the Supreme Court and Barack Obama know nothing about the Constitution. Exactly. The constitutional law professor knows nothing about the Constitution. Trust me, this idiot on my Facebook page, the extent of his constitutional knowledge is probably how a bill becomes a law, which he learned on Schoolhouse Rock. But anyway, it's a law. So that's one. Then the Supreme Court comes in again. Bam! Gays are allowed to get married. The Supreme Court says, and again, this crazy liberal activist court is shocking me over and over. But, and you know, I use that sarcasm on my page, calling them activist judges, and somebody really tried to explain to me that they are activist judges. Yeah, sarcasm just doesn't work in writing, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, basically they said that gays are human and therefore they have a constitutional right to get married because that's the Constitution is the rights we give to all people in the United States. Yeah, that's it. So now, you know, again, just I'm not even going to get into the right wing and how crazy they're going over this. It's almost funny to hear some people are saying they're going to dissolve their marriage. One guy, I think, said he was going to set himself on fire. Didn't do it. How come they never do it? Huh? When Ted Nugent said that he'd be dead or in jail when Barack Obama got reelected, how come he didn't do it? How come this guy isn't on fire right now if he's, you know, so hellfire against gay marriage? They never follow through on the good threats. Anyway, the gay people are allowed to get married. And I just have a feeling gay divorce lawyers are going to be stepping up. Kudos to you, divorce lawyers. Step it up. Let's get gay divorce. Well, we're going to have marriage. We might as well have divorce. Keep marriage sacred, you know, like straight marriage. Also, we can expect a whole bunch of religious freedom laws. You know religious freedom. That's where your religion allows you to discriminate against a group of people. Because as we all know, Jesus was big on discrimination. Yes, you know, that. I think Jesus said, love one another as you love thyself. Unless they're different, then shoot them. That's open carry Jesus, by the way. So there we go. Gay marriage. Not that that was necessarily a win for Barack Obama, but it was a win for the left wing. It was a win for the Democrats, right? And now here's another one. And I didn't even know about this one, which there's a long list of shit I don't know about. But housing discrimination. That was another Supreme Court decision this week. And the Supreme Court just upheld the 1968 Fair Housing Act. Now, this was an interesting case, and this comes from Texas. Imagine that, a case about discrimination coming from Texas. How could that happen? Anyway, basically, then it's very interesting, and I'm going to try to get this clear. I'm actually going to read it so I don't screw it up. Okay, the 1968 Fair Housing Act, passed in the wake of Martin Luther King's assassination, riots, and urban destruction, or that could be 1968 or, you know, a month ago in Baltimore. Anyway, it allows federal action against disparate impact as well as overt discrimination, okay? Now, the disparate impact, that's important. That's the idea that whether intention, and I'm reading again, disparate impact, the idea that whether intentional or not, something is discriminatory and illegal if it has a disproportionate adverse effect on a particular group. Okay, so basically it says you may not intend for it to be discriminatory against a particular group, wink, wink, but if it is, it is still illegal and the federal government is allowed to take action against it. Now, here's where this came from. Obviously, there's racial gaps. You know, we haven't figured it out yet. Okay, racism is part of American society. It's a shame. It's horrible, but it is. And everybody who's honest and real knows that. Of course, some pretend, well, we're colorblind. Now, shut up. All right, just stop it. We're not even going to pretend that that's true. I'm not saying it's overt discrimination. I'm not saying all white people hate black people. But there's discrimination. And the thing about this discrimination, at times, it is so subtle and so well thought out. You only imagine how much good could these people do if they put the same energy into a positive thing that they put into hate and segregation. It could be amazing. So anyway, this lawsuit, Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs versus the Inclusive Communities Project. Okay. The Inclusive Communities Project is a nonprofit group promotes racial and socioeconomic integration of the Dallas area. And they sued Texas for racial segregation. Now, this is what I'm talking about, the subtlety of it. Okay. The Inclusive Communities, what they do. They help lower-income African-American families find affordable housing. How do they do this? They receive, the families get subsidies, a voucher, and to live in mostly white suburbs of Dallas, to live in the suburbs of Dallas. So the families, they have to find a landlord that will accept the voucher. Now, if you're a private landlord, you can decline the voucher, which many of them do, obviously. But if you're a landlord who's getting federal tax credits for lower income housing, then you have to take the voucher. Now, you've heard about this. Whenever there's a new housing development, they tell them you have to build X amount for lower income housing. They even do that in places like Malibu, even though I haven't seen any lower income housing in Malibu. But then lower income in Malibu is about 1.2 million, I'm sure. But anyway, to get this federal tax credit for lower income housing, if you get it, you have to take the vouchers. So what are they doing in these suburbs of Texas? Well, the state decides who's going to get the lower income housing tax credits. And they just happen to allocate these tax credits to the poor black neighborhoods to force them to accept the vouchers, as opposed to giving tax credits in the white neighborhoods, because that would allow these black people to move in and integrate these white neighborhoods. So again, they can claim, well, it's not intentional. We just, you know, helping the landlord out. But the Supreme Court said, it doesn't matter whether it's not intentional or not. It's illegal. Now, here's something funny. You remember McKinney, Texas, right? McKinney, Texas, for those who don't remember, because we have so many of these cases in such a short memory, you might not remember. It's where Crazy Cop tackled a 14-year-old black girl and sat on her back. It was where they had the fight over the pool, okay? And a white patron told the black guest to go back to Section 8 housing. Now, McKinney is a perfect example of why you have this Housing Discrimination Act and why the federal government needs to get involved on the state level and tell them what to do. McKinney is divided along an east and west line. Blacks are on the east, whites are on the west. And the pool, which is a private communal facility, was located on the west, the white side of town. And that's what they're talking about. Discrimination, whether it's intentional or unintentional, if you have a community, and it's a shame this community is divided into east and west, black and white, but that pool, if that's the case, should be in the middle. So three great cases, three great decisions by the Supreme Court. You know, I often give up on our society, but maybe we are moving forward and the court is doing a great job. But they still have Clarence Thomas, and old Clarence. and I have to laugh because he's almost amazing. Okay. Clarence Thomas. He said that, how do I put this? Okay. So Clarence Thomas, he opposes any anti-discrimination law. And this is what he cited. He said he's against any law for anti-discrimination. And he said, black Americans' presence in the NBA is evidence that racial disparities weren't inherently bad. Yeah, he said that. Listen, white people, we will trade you, okay? Now, you know Dave Chappelle does jokes about the black and white, the racial draft. We will trade you Clarence Thomas for Rachel Dolezal straight up. Straight up. We will give you Clarence Thomas because let's face it, you already got him. And we'll take Rachel. Okay, Rachel, you're black now. Only if they accept Clarence Thomas. Speaking of, and that's it. That's the news for me this week. These decisions were fantastic. And I just hope this is some indication we're moving forward, and hope even more that the Democrats can maintain this momentum. I so wish the presidential election was next week and Hillary could win, because you know, given time, Democrats will screw this up and Republicans will take credit for every good decision. You think that Republicans won't take credit for Obamacare in the 2016 election if it's working and millions and millions more people are insured? They know how to do it. Good luck with that, Democrats. Hope you hang on. Anyway, getting back to what I said, the racial trade, this was a week of the NBA draft. You know, I'm a basketball fan. I'm going to talk a little bit about it real quick. Nothing major, but, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, we knew that. He was coming out of Kentucky. Kentucky pretty much has a pro team, so they're just getting paid legally now. But anyway, he's going to the Timberwolves. Should be pretty good for the Wolves. Another big man. They get Kevin Garnett back. He's going to train the young big men. Could be good. D'Angelo Russell going to the Lakers. Great point guard. Is he going to learn from Kobe, or is he just going to watch Kobe and be like, damn, sit down, old man. We'll wait and see. Oh, Jahlil Okafor from Duke going to the 76ers. From Duke, I don't like Duke. I'm a North Carolina fan, but he's a solid, good player. And I say all that just to get to the number four draft pick. Let's see. I don't even know how to pronounce this name, which is why the Knicks drafted him. Kristaps Porzingis. The Knicks, who used to be my team. All right. You know, I'm a Clipper fan, but I grew up in New York. The Knicks were my team. They love to draft foreign players, and they continue to draft foreign players. And it's worked out so well so far. Let me give you a few examples of those in the past. Frederick Weiss from France. Yeah, they drafted him in 1999. Now, you don't remember Frederick Weiss. Yes, you do. The Olympic team, when Vince Carter jumped over a French man's head and dunked. You remember that dunk? That was Frederick Weiss. That was the head he was jumping over. So why wouldn't the Knicks draft him? Milos Vrjunac. Back in 2002, they drafted him. Never played one game in the NBA. Slavko Vranes, or Vranes, from Serbia. He beat Milo because he played one game in the NBA. And on and on and on. So the NBA, I mean, the Knicks continue to draft these foreign players. And I don't know. It's not going to work. My team. It was my team. My whole town. Good luck, Knicks. I don't see it happening. Finally, it is July. You know what that means? Training camp's about to open. That's right. NFL players are about to start going to jail. I mean, start going to training camp. Yeah, the NFL will be playing again soon. So if you're a football fan, let's hope that this season is better than last season. Okay, because last season was utterly ridiculous. And I don't want to see that many players getting arrested again and ruining the game. So hopefully they got their act together. That's it. That's all I got. Hillary Clinton's still leading in the polls, which is good. Donald Trump is still somehow, is he being taken seriously as a candidate? Not really, but you know, they're talking about him. This was a good one this week. Fox cut Sarah Palin's contract. Yeah. Fox cut Sarah loose. Apparently, Donald is so crazy, they don't need Sarah anymore. And then, and this is just something, you guys know how much I love motorcycles, and I read this, and I just thought this was kind of cool. Gregory Winfrey, the new Transportation Department Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology, rides a motorcycle. I think that's a good sign. Transportation Secretary Assistant rides a motorcycle. Those of us who ride motorcycles may have a fighting chance with the Department of Transportation. I don't know. I can get into the airlines. Summer travel has started. There's articles about how the airlines manipulate these airfares so that even though price of fuel has gone down, the price of your airplane ticket won't go down. 4th of July weekend's coming up. Listen, have a great weekend. go out, barbecue, have fun, drive somewhere. Gas is cheap. I'm going to be in Atlanta. I'm performing at the International Alcoholics Anonymous Convention. I'm doing some shows down there. I'll be at the Rialto Theater in Atlanta. The following week, I head to Montreal. I'll be up there all month hosting the ethnic show at Just for Laughs. So I'm looking forward to that. I love you. I appreciate you listening. When they ask who's paying attention, it's you. Oh, and tell someone to follow me on Twitter because I need it. Thank you.